where I live.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Welcome aboard, Captain. Fighter pilots needed in Sector Wars. Play Astro Blaster.
R2 droid, increase the power.
Hi friends, welcome back to the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. I wasn't surprised in the least when so many of you correctly identified the sounds of the subject of our show for this go-around. It is none other than the truly classic 1983 Trimetric Projected Maze game, Crystal Castles. Developed and published by Atari, Crystal Castles was programmed by Franz Lanzinger. Although, I also found information that Scott Fuller was the project leader for the game. Although, the team leader role went to John Ray, with graphic design being handled by Barbara Singh, as well as Dave Ralston. It was Sam Lai who was given the responsibility of creating the hardware for Crystal Castles. Now, this was the only game I could find for Scott Fuller. The same goes for Barbara Singh. But holy cow, John Ray is a name you should be familiar with, friends. He had a hand in such games at Atari as 1978's Fire Truck, 1979's Baseball, Red Baron, in this case, the cockpit or environmental cabinet, as well as 1983's Cloak and Dagger, to name a few. Dave Ralston also worked on many games of note, including 1983's Firefox, 1984's Paperboy, and 1985's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, as well as The Empire Strikes Back. Programmer Franz Lanzinger worked on 1982's Millipede and an arcade title in 1985 that sadly was never released. Furthermore, friends, I will have to admit that I never even knew that Atari attempted to create this game. What is it? Well, here's a hint. Yes, Franz Lanzinger worked on an unreleased Gremlins arcade game. When I found that information, my mind was literally blown. The crazier part is that, thankfully, footage of the unreleased game has been uploaded on YouTube, and I will be sure to include it in the post on the Retroist for this podcast. I'll tell you, though, looking at it in action, it hurts the heart that it was never put into production, because it looks amazing. It's rather fitting that Franz was working on a Gremlins arcade game as Crystal Castles happens to appear in the 1984 film. Just a moment ago, I mentioned that Crystal Castles was a trimetric projected maze game, which means that the three axes are at arbitrary angles, often using different linear scales. That's the definition from the dictionary. In layman's term, everything has a 3D effect. It's been mentioned by wiser gamers than myself that Crystal Castles has a little of Pac-Man in its DNA, and I feel that's fair. Now, before I jump into the gameplay of Crystal Castles, I feel I should point out a very important fact. It didn't start out as a variation on a maze game. It had started life as a Vectrex arcade title, much like Red Baron or Battlezone, with a space theme, a 3D version of Asteroids. Sort of. The plan had been that the player would be flying across an alien landscape, blasting enemy installations, all the while avoiding asteroids that would be raining down. What name did this project start with? Toparoids. Obviously, Topo being short for topography, and roids from asteroids, of course. Apparently, Franz really didn't like the idea for this game. And while intrigued with the aspect of a 3D title, he went with creating the Trimetric Projected Maze game, full of strangely shaped castles. Gone were asteroids, to be replaced by gems or crystals to be collected by the players. Hence, Crystal Castles. Although the concept, the original concept, at least some of those for Toparoids, made their way into Atari's iRobot a year later. Crystal Castle tasks 1 to 2 players, taking alternate turns, like I've already mentioned, to collect as many gems or crystals as possible in each stage. In this case, the players help a colorful and cartoonish protagonist by the name of Bentley Bear. Fun fact, he started out as Braveheart Bear. At least that was how he was named in the prototypes. Although there was fear that Native Americans might object to the name, so they changed it to Bentley. Crystal Castles was different not just with its 3D levels, but also its control scheme. While the player has a jump button to attempt to keep Bentley from contact with his enemies, control of our hero is done so by way of the legendary Atari trackball. Just like Missile Command, Centipede, and even 1979's Atari Baseball. I can definitely tell you back in the day, when I first encountered Crystal Castles at Showbiz Pizza, I kind of winced when I saw that it was a trackball instead of a joystick. But after one game, I totally got it. The precision as well as the on-the-fly control that the trackball offers was the only real option. This game in my youth also holds the record for the most times pinched while playing it. I bet many of you have had the same experiences as a kid. I will add this though, on an elementary school trip to Showbiz, I actually got something worse than a pinch. A part of my palm was caught between the trackball and the housing for it. Being a kid, I freaked out. An attendant was called who quickly had one of their technicians removing the control panel, and then taking out the screws for the trackball enclosure, I was able to get my hand free. I would like to tell you that I was very brave and not sobbing, but my friends, that would be an absolute lie. I have a theory about why this happened, but I'm going to save that for just a bit later. Anyway, Crystal Castles is made up of 10 levels. 9 of those levels have 4 castles or stages each for Bentley Bear to attempt to survive. The 10th level possesses just a single castle, and if you manage to complete it, you've actually won and ended the game. Yeah, Crystal Castles was an arcade title with an ending. While the design for Crystal Castles is one of fantasy and on the cartoonish side, it is an incredibly challenging arcade game. Clearing a stage or level will occur once the last gem has been collected, by you or your enemies. If the player obtains the last gem, they will receive bonus points. Whereas, when the enemy gets the last gem, you simply move on to the next stage. Now, it's not just a simple matter of following a path and running over those gems. Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a hard game, right? The player will have to guide Bentley up ramps as well as even riding elevators to reach higher areas to get the last of a level's gems. To make things even more difficult, these actions can be done by your foes too. Let's take a moment and talk about the enemies that Bentley must face in the game. There are the spherical crystal balls, purple-hued orbs with frowning red mouths and glaring red eyes. The crystal balls, like most enemies in Crystal Castles, will scoop up any gems they come across. In addition, they will do their very best to collide with Bentley and cost him a life, going so far as to attempt to mimic the player's movement. If Bentley heads upwards, for example, that is exactly the direction that the crystal ball will go as well, and they never stop trying to reach you. Then we have the nasty trees, which looks like escapees from the set of The Wizard of Oz, minus the faces. These foes also pick up any gems they happen to come across, and like the crystal balls, will attempt to reach the player to take a life. However, the nasty trees might also be lazy, as they only attempt to reach you by way of a straight path. And while the crystal balls never stop moving, the nasty trees will actually halt their march if Bentley stops moving. Also, if you jump over a nasty tree, it stuns it, possibly giving you a second to get to safety. The problem is, in the later stages, the nasty trees get really, really fast. Next up are the gem eaters. Resembling nothing so much as a sectioned green tube topped with a green head and yellow eye. Not eyes, friends. The gem eater is a cyclops that moves in packs on their stubby 2 legs, doing what their name suggests. Stopping not to scoop up the gems, but actually eat them. You can see them swallowing each gem they come across. Which, by the way, is when they are vulnerable. You have to act fast, though. When Bentley comes into contact with the gem eater while it's swallowing one of those crystals, he will defeat it and earn himself 500 points. Like the nasty trees, if a player jumps over a gym eater, it will be stunned as well as causing them to slow down in speed. On the other hand, if these foes haven't found a gym to digest, after a few seconds, they will speed up, frantically searching for something to eat. At the very least, the gym eaters won't actively seek out Bentley Bear. They only attempt to take a player out if you get too close to them and their food source. In Crystal Castles, you must contend with two enemies who, well, have passed on. Both skeletons and ghosts frequent some of the stages. And while they don't exactly hunt down the player, their movements are generally unpredictable, which is of course where the danger lies. Since they are slower than the others, the best strategy is to let them move away from the spot you're trying to reach if you can. Perhaps since they are no longer living, they have no desire to pick up the gems scattered around them. Of course, if Bentley comes into contact with one of these foes, he loses a life. Now, while Bentley Bear seems only concerned with lining his pockets with all of those thousands of gems throughout the 10 levels, the truth of the matter is that some stages have a pot of honey to tempt players. Upon guiding Bentley Bear over it, the player will find themselves 1,000 points richer. The honey pot also happens to be protected by a very angry swarm of bees. The swarm will drop down to surround the honeypot for a couple of seconds before rising back up and off the screen. It's better to attempt to nab it as quick as possible at the start of a level, because if the swarm has returned after 5 times, it will literally land on Bentley's head and cost him a life if he hasn't cleared the stage. The bees will do the very same thing if the player is taking too long to finish a stage as well. Last, but definitely not least, is Bertilda the Witch, who not only has a tendency to chase Bentley Bear between the changing of levels, as a humorous act change, but also possesses a bubbling cauldron. Players will lose a life if they make contact with it. That is, unless they are wearing the magic hat. More on that in just a second. Players can safely jump over the cauldron to get past it, and as a bonus, enemies can't travel past the cauldron to reach Bentley. However, you still have Bertilda to worry about. The only way to defeat her is by wearing that hat I just mentioned. Defeating the witch will net a player 3,000 points. The witch also normally, bear that in mind, normally follows a set pattern. So, if Bertilda is moving from one side of the screen to the other, that is usually the only pattern she will follow. Friends, I think it's time to talk about that magical hat. Besides the ability to jump, it is the player's only method to protect themselves. Not to mention, it will get you 500 points when you pick it up, as well as making you temporarily invulnerable. Meaning you can safely pass through your enemies. It won't defeat your foes, unless you happen to make contact with a gem eater while it's swallowing a gem, of course. But it obviously gives you a means of escape if you can get it. The first few levels of Crystal Castles, the hat will appear and stay put. But on some stages, the hat, perhaps too full of magic, will begin to bounce in anticipation. And when you reach the higher stages, the hat will actually begin to travel around the screen, bouncing here and there across the paths and making it more difficult for the player to catch. Then, by the time you reach level 9, if you don't grab the hat quick enough, it will transform into one of the crystal balls. I've never really concerned myself with the scoring on Crystal Castles, because quite frankly, I've never been good enough to get very far. However, the game has a compelling reason for you to attempt to get your initials in the top Hall of Fame spot. Because that top spot, those initials will be used as part of the architecture of the first level of the game. By default, the initials you will see are FXL, which naturally stands for Franz X Lanzinger. Perhaps the X stands for Xavier. Here is another thing to keep in mind if you're going to attempt to nab that high score spot, friends. Every 4 seconds that pass will cost you 1,000 points. The time bonus on each stage begins at 200,000. With the added insult that every time you lose a life, the time it takes for your next life to begin has stolen another 1,000 points from you. Remember I had mentioned that Crystal Castles has an actual ending. having passed through Doom's Dome, through Bertilda's castle, traversed the hidden ramp, and survived Bertilda's fortress and dungeon and more, the player will be presented a screen that reads, "I give up. You win. You must be..." The title you earn depends on how many lives you have remaining. For one life, you are amazingly good. For two, ridiculously good. For three, fantastically good. For four remaining lives, you've proven you're very good. For five, an expert. And with six, you are a video whiz. Crystal Castles was popular enough to receive ports to the home consoles and computers of the day. It was available on the Apple II, Atari 2600, Atari 8-bit family computers, Atari ST, Commodore 64, BBC Micro, the Acorn Electron, ZX Spectrum, and Amstrad CPC. The C64 version was developed by AtariSoft, but thanks in part to the video game crash, it was never officially released by the company. It did, however, get purchased by US Gold in 1985 and released in the UK. It was ThunderVision that released the game to Commodore 64 owners in 1986 for North America. Crystal Castles was even made available on the PlayStation, Dreamcast, Xbox, PlayStation 2, the Xbox One, as well as the PlayStation 4, not to mention the Nintendo DS. Of course, Crystal Castles is one of the many Atari titles available on Steam's Atari Vault.
And now, these messages.
This is Atari Space Invaders.
We're going to do it! We're going to do it! Here, we've done it! Now what are we gonna do? Oh no, not again!
And this is New Asteroids.
What are those huge things drifting towards me?
Oh, it's only me, Captain.
No, I mean on the screen.
There are over 40 exciting Atari games, including video chess. All you need is the Atari Video Computer System to entertain and educate your family for years. Atari Video Games from Ingersoll.
Arcade players, get ready. The new Atari 5200 Super System is here. With a controller so advanced it plays arcade. Graphics so real it looks arcade. With arcade hits you can't play on any other system. No other home video system can touch it. The new Atari 5200 Super System. It's as good as you are. Maybe even better. Next time.
Friends? Another feature that Crystal Castles has that makes it rather amazing is warps. Locations in certain stages that a player can access that will take you to higher levels and also net you some amazing points in the process. On stage 1, you can run behind the palace to the upper right corner, hit the jump button, and zoom! You are warped to level 3, stage 1. For the second warp, get the hat. Run to an elevator, and at the back corner of the hidden ramp stage, jump before the hat expires. By the way, warping like this will grant players 4 lives. And this warp takes you to level 5. The third warp is on the third stage of level 5, which is known as Crossroads. You will need to move to the very upper left corner and jump, which will whisk you to the first screen of level 7. Of course, adding 4 more lives to your reserves. Although, after this, there are no other warps. Well, that isn't exactly true. If you lose the game and start a new one, on level 1, you will see a tunnel opening has appeared on the dome. Run inside and hit the jump button, and you will be taken to the last level you had reached. This only works up to level 8, though. An interesting trick you can pull off in the game involves going to the front right corner of any maze. Then, you need to stay put and jump 128 times. By doing that, you will find that on the next stage, there will be a string of words stretched across the middle of the screen that reads, "Atari." The next stage after that, and the words will disappear. Here's another trick you might like. On stage 4, when you've reached Bertilda's palace, once you've grabbed the magic hat, run over to the tunnel entrance where the evil witch is. Grab your 3,000 points by defeating her with a hat, then head over to the corner where she originally was. Then, press the jump button. You will notice that Franz's initials are now located in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. This is just something that might impress a fellow arcade addict watching you play. Now, at the arcade, Crystal Castles was picked up by Shay Mathis, the owner and manager of the Arcadia Retrocade, where I get to work. He did this last year. Not only was it a first in that he bought it on eBay, but he drove all the way to Chicago himself to pick it up and bring it back to the arcade. I was pretty blown away when I saw it, but the first thing I noticed was the trackball. Remember, at the beginning of the episode, I said I had a theory about why my hand was horribly pinched. Well, I vividly recall that the Crystal Castle machines at the Showbiz Pizza had white trackballs. The version on our game is red, and it totally lights up too. I think the cabinets I played in my youth were using a trackball that weren't the correct size. At least, that is my theory. At the arcade, Crystal Castles has a spot in an island of 6 Atari titles, including Kangaroo, Dig Dug, Arabian, Centipede, and Millipede. Honestly though, Crystal Castles doesn't appear to get a lot of play, which really surprises me. By the way, it's been said that only around 5,000 of Crystal Castles' upright arcade cabinets were ever produced, with even a lower number for cocktail versions. Actually, until I was getting this episode ready, I will admit that I didn't even know there were cocktail versions produced. Who knows? Maybe we can get one for the arcade in the near future. And friends, I think that about brings us to the end of the Crystal Castles episode. I want to thank you all for listening, as well as the kind words you sent me since I've gone into semi-retirement. I also want to thank all of you that were kind enough to hop on over to iTunes and give us some good reviews on the last show. It is always appreciated. I also want to give a shout out, a big thank you, to Preston Griffith, an IT extraordinaire who helped me get my computer up and running again after about 4 days of it being on the fritz. You're one in a million, Preston. If you'd like to find out more about the Arcadia Retrocade, you can visit their Facebook page. Or, for almost daily posts, you can check out the Diary of an Arcade Employee Facebook page. I share all manner of vintage arcade and home console fun multiple times a day. If you have any feedback or comments about the podcast, you can always reach me on Facebook or throw me an email at vicsage@retroist.com. You also can often find me posting videos of the arcade on my Instagram account, which is simply vicsage. I, of course, want to thank the Retroist, not just for hosting the show, but for providing a spot on the internet where you can visit throughout the week to find some of the best retro-related articles and podcasts. Until next time, have a token on me as you hear a clip from the subject of a future episode.
Looney Tunes.
Droopy.
The Pink Panther.
The Herculoids.
Flintstones.
Challenge of the Super Friends.
Tom and Jerry.
All of these and more will be tackled on the Tune In podcast. I'm Vic Sage, your co-host for our upcoming show.
And I'm Gary Burton, your host for the Tune In podcast. Classic animated theatrical shorts and animated TV series and specials.
These are all subjects we will discuss on the show, giving you info and entertaining back history on the creators who toiled to make masterpieces and memorable cartoons that are still relevant and remembered today.
So if you are a fan of animation, we hope you will join us for the Tune In podcast.
This has been a Retroist production. Thank you for listening, and have a better one. Goodbye.
End of line.